Welcome to the Fat Emperor podcast. I'm your host, Ivor Cummins. Hey guys, another health-related podcast. And you might have caught my interview with Dr. Malcolm Kendrick a few weeks ago on cholesterol and the true root causes of heart disease and vascular calcification. Well, one of the things that's huge in his mind, and mine too, is nitric oxide. And that kind of segues into the chat I'm going to have today with my pal Warren in New Zealand. So he runs a nutraceutical business. He's the founder and owner. He's been in Ireland. I've been over in New Zealand checking out his stuff. And today we're going to chat with Warren about nitric oxide and related matters and a new system that he has actually developed with his team, which could help very much with that whole vector. So, hey, great to see you again, Warren. And you're doing good there in spite of New Zealand's kind of unusual scenarios.
Yeah, there's a lot of unusual things going on here at the moment. But one plus is, of course, it's in the middle of our summer. So at least we're a bit warmer over here than what you are at the moment.
Oh, yeah. It was quite sunny here today, funny enough. So I kind of enjoyed that. But not much power to give you nitric oxide as it happens. But here, this new product you were talking to me about over the last few weeks, you actually mentioned it first many, many, many months ago. So I guess it takes a long time to develop new products. But VascuFlow, what made you put this one together with your team?
Well, it's a bit like most of the products which we develop. I did this because I wanted it for myself.
That's one of the best motivators. But like, you had CX8, and we've talked about that before, and there's some other kind of connected to heart disease products, but why specifically this one, VascuFlow?
I'll try and explain. See, the objective of CX8 was, in fact, quite manifold. It was influenced largely by my need to do something about calcification. That was an area that I'd actually had overlooked on all our supplements in the past. And as you'll recollect, a few years ago I was diagnosed with a calcified aortic valve, and I then started doing some research as to could it have been prevented, and ultimately found that yes, it could have been, but I'd run out of time. According to the cardiologist, that if I didn't have the valve replaced, I'd be dead within a year. And so I had to turn around and submit myself to open heart surgery and have the aortic valve replaced. That's what led off to the development of CX8. That's how, of course, I came to meet you in the first place whilst I was doing the research on calcification.
Yeah, I remember that. It seems like a long time ago now. It was long pre-corona, if you will. And you did CX8, of course, specifically targeting the calcification process itself. And we talked about that at length because that was your fixation, because that was the thing that gave you a shock that you had no awareness of calcification at all. But is this product pretty much aimed at the calcification vector itself again?
No, it's actually aimed at something quite different, because although the CX8 was designed to help sort of clear the arteries and, in other words, prevent the calcification, there was also a need to do something further from a point of view of increasing the flow of blood, and also in particular to be able to target high blood pressure. Now, I don't have a particularly I didn't have a particularly bad issue with blood pressure, but after the surgery, it went from being normal to somewhat elevated. The CX8 has helped that, and it's largely normalized. But I figured if we can increase the flow by way of increasing the nitric oxide, it would actually help, and it has indeed been doing just that. So the main objective was twofold. One was to increase the nitric oxide levels, which in turn dilates the blood vessels to give better flow, but also looking at some other components which would help the endothelium, which I never spell right, which produces the nitric oxide, so long term, could help stimulate it to improve the ongoing production of nitric oxide. So that's was part of the whole brief as well, and that's what we've done.
And endothelial health, of course, sits at the very center, and the endothelial generation with nitric oxide synthase, it's kind of the nexus of heart disease. If that system's not working, in fact, I reckon really if you can enhance your endothelial health and your nitric oxide generation, and there's many ways to do it, you may counteract some of the modern problematic things like, you know, foods and toxins. But the CX8 you've been using now for some time, and have you had another scan or CSE scan? I know, you know, it's been a couple of years, and I recommend at least a year or two before getting a second one. In fairness, it's a slow process. But have you done one again?
Well, what happened was that I didn't know about the CAC, you know, scans until after the surgery was done, and when I was doing the research, and that's when I came across and found you. I did have I had my first scan after the surgery, but the radiologist had some issues with it, because the surgery, they used some sort of clips and bits and pieces in it, which, you know, made it difficult to do the proper reading. But I did do it, and it came out at a little over 1,000, so it was still, you know, quite sort of high. Now, bearing in mind, that was after the valve had been replaced, but there was still sort of bits of calcification around. And so left it at that for about a year, and then did another scan, and I made sure that it was done on the same machine using the same radiologist that did the first one, because of the potential difference of interpretation. And basically it came out pretty well the same as the one the year before, so it hadn't gone back. But I wasn't really expecting that. The objective was to see whether in fact it was holding its own and not increasing. In that regard, it didn't increase. So that was about almost a year ago now. So I'm going to be doing another one, sometime within the next few months, to see whether in fact it still is stabilized. What it did do though was did a number of tests using the pulse wave analysis system, which helps measure the health of the arteries. And in that regard, I got a very, very good result. In fact, I think that, we did discuss that when, we talked about CX8 some, while ago. And maybe you might be able to, put up the screen which showed the results. But I had quite a dramatic improvement in about a year in terms of the pulse wave analysis.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that, because I remember having those graphs before, maybe it was 6 or 8 months ago, and pretty dramatic reductions. And I wasn't too familiar with pulse wave velocity at the time. I was aware of it, but not the kind of how dependent you could be on it or how accurate it was. But it's got a lot of good literature, and it's largely FDA approved and perceived as a pretty good indication of vascular flexibility. So it was great to see that respond in such a dramatic fashion. I think from memory, you kind of went down from a nominal 70-year-old kind of apparent vascular elasticity down to someone in their 40s over a few months.
Yeah, that's right. It was quite dramatic. And something else which will be of interest is that you remember that a long time ago when we were talking about the pulse wave analysis system, that you mentioned about another process called the Max Pulse, which was developed in South Korea, which is also an FDA-approved machine. And apparently does a whole lot of extra things. And so I've actually just bought one of those machines and arrived a couple of weeks ago, but unfortunately I haven't been able to figure out how it works yet. And it's a wee bit complicated, but that apparently will do everything that the pulse wave analysis will do and some. What's interesting about it is they had two pieces of equipment, one which is for use for doctors and clinics, and I bought one of those, and that's the real complicated one. And then there's another one, a small unit, which is about the size of an exometer, but that also will do most of the things that the larger machine will do. So it is something that, if it works out good, that people will be able to sort of access, you know, so they can test themselves at home about the health of their arteries and so on. It's a pretty sophisticated bit of machinery, and it's not going to be too expensive. We don't know what the final selling price will be, but it's in the hundreds, not in the thousands, like the big, you know, machine is. So anyway, I'll keep you posted about the progress on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually, the Max Pulse one as well, I met the agent. I know we were talking about it some time back. Haven't tested it yet, but I actually got one as well because we're doing Fixus.ie, a new kind of network for farmers and agricultural people, kind of grassroots, reducing weight, reversing diabetes. And I figured that'd be a really great tool to kind of give on this. People love to get checked by really good FDA regulated equipment and then look for improvements. So yeah, I'll let you know what I learn about it as well. This product though, Vascue Flow, just circling back to that, you're really targeting this whole nitric oxide access, right? I guess for blood pressure, for vasodilation, which is kind of crucial actually. That's the main intent for it, to target blood pressure, to target vasodilation.
Yes, it is. And although what we're going to be doing is primarily promoting it as a nitric oxide promoter, because if in fact that we were to say this is for, you know, blood pressure, you know, then we're likely to be getting into trouble because we're making a disease claim, and of course, you know, all the complications associated with that. And so we did a lot of research on the whole issue of nitric oxide, and found it quite fascinating that it has a lot of benefits, not just for blood pressure, but a whole lot of other things as well. And as a matter of fact, I think that there's a, we put up a chart which was produced by the National Institutes of Health, which shows the effect that nitric oxide actually has on all parts of the body. So perhaps maybe you might be able to stick that up on the screen and show people that.
Yeah, I saw that one. I was kind of surprised because I know all these things decline with age, and I was aware also nitric oxide synthesis did, but I was kind of surprised at the extent it falls away. And I was also surprised, and I'll show it on the screen as I'm talking, but I was surprised at how they got such a dramatic difference between poor diet and kind of good diet, healthy people. I usually don't see such a stark contrast in many measures, though you would see it with vitamin D equally and others. So yeah, it's an interesting one to target because it, as I mentioned earlier, it sits at the nexus really of heart disease essentially. And there's many precursors that people talk around. I haven't really got into this too much, but beetroot is the one I remember when I was looking this up around a year ago. Beetroot is kind of the cliched precursor providing kind of thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that was part of the research which we did. But just getting back to that other diagram that you mentioned a moment ago, there are actually two there. There's one, it was two produced by the National Institutes of Health. One is in fact where it has the nitric oxide and leads off to all these various other areas that nitric oxide is so critical in. And then the other one, which is what you're referring to about the drop-off, which is really quite dramatic, and how it shows that at age, up to about age 30, that if your diet and exercise is good, your nitric oxide production, you know, stays pretty constant. And that's where it shows the differences if your diet is not good, you know, that it starts dropping off from about age 20. But from age 30, you know, it drops dramatically, you know, and keeps on going right down until, you know, you get into the into the 70s. And of course, what was interesting about that was, as you mentioned, that the difference between the drop-off for people who eat well and exercise, an average person, and somebody, in fact, who just has a poor diet and lifestyle, it's really is quite dramatic. But all of them sort of drop off pretty heavily and keep on going down.
Yeah, certainly something to address. And it would be interesting to have our top people on low carb, high healthy sun exposure, magnesium, and all the other stuff, and see where they come out in that graph. But of course, NIH doesn't look at those kind of people. But I'm guessing they'd be up there even above the good diet and even flatter. But I mentioned beetroot there. And the only reason I mention it is because I don't look much into kind of supplement type stuff in general. But I am aware of that one, that beetroot has popped up all over the place. A bit like aged garlic is approved off by Professor Budoff, who's a real pharma kind of guy, statin guy. But he's picked that as one of his things that he actually does agree with in terms of natural world foods. But beetroot is the one I think he's also mentioned in terms of nitric oxide.
Yes, we did a lot of work on the beetroot, didn't we? We got samples of beetroot from all different suppliers. We got beetroot itself. We freeze-dried it. Then sent it all away for analysis and mainly checking what the nitrate levels were. And the bottom line is that the actual nitrate levels can vary a lot in beetroot depending on sort of how it's prepared and what form it's in. But nonetheless, it's still quite low. The interesting thing is, we spent months sort of doing this and did a lot of testing, sent it to labs all around the world to check nitrate levels, and then we came across red spinach, and we did some research on that, and it showed that red spinach was had significantly more nitrates than the beetroot. So the research showed just how superior it was. So we found a source, which we had to go to India to get the source, and the specs, this was from who was normally a very reliable supplier, the spec was that it would have 5% nitrates in it. So we bought 100 kilos to do a test run, and that's of the actual extract, the powder, and which takes about, about two tons to actually of the actual fresh spinach to get that, to get 100 kilos. And we got it over here, and then of course, as per usual, with all in raw ingredients we have come in, we do have to do two things, or three things actually. One is we have to do an ID to make sure that in fact that it is what it is supposed to be. Then secondly, then we have to test for any contaminants or heavy metals at all. But then thirdly, in the case of the red spinach, we had to test for nitrates. And on this particular product or ingredient, the nitrates came out at less than 1%. So it was less than a fifth of what the spec actually said. This is just illustrates where you cannot rely on certificates of analysis from suppliers. So then was back to the drawing board, and this is one of the reasons why we're so late in releasing this product, because it was going to be released months ago. So we had to investigate for another source of the red spinach, and we did find one. This time their spec was 9%. So we thought, well, this could be the answer. So we then bought some of that, went into quarantine as normal, and then sent the actual extract away for analysis, and passed the ID tests and the contaminant tests. But with regard to the nitrate, whereas it was supposed to be 9%, it actually came out to 16%. So very, very happy. So we're well over the spec of the 9%. So that's, you know, what we ended up using. So that was a core component of VascuFlow. And as a point of interest, in a daily dose of this particular ingredient, to get a similar amount of nitrates, you would have to eat somewhere between 15 and 25 beetroot. Not a particularly appealing process. Well, you know, nothing wrong with the taste of beetroot, but you know, it'd be a bit over the top if you're eating 25 a day.
Yeah, don't think so. I don't even like beetroot, actually. My mother used to try and get me to eat it when I was young, and unlike some other things I acquired a taste for, I just never really liked it. I think it was that kind of purple and pickled in vinegar, that whole kind of thing. Maybe if you get them natural or raw, they're not as bad, but each their own. So that's really hypercharging then, getting this type of ingredient or nitrates in as a precursor. But I guess some people will have plenty of that anyway. It's not something I really research deeply. You know, everyone needs optimum nitric oxide generation, but have you done any looking into, does everyone have a benefit from taking extra nitrate?
Oh, absolutely, because once again, let's go back to that chart by the National Institute of Health, that there's two charts there. One, of course, which shows all the various areas that nitric oxide is so important for, which is from cardiovascular, you know, right down a whole series of things, even immunity. And then if you look at that other one, you know, like we talked about the drop-off, you know, from age 30, and by the time that somebody is age 70, you know, they're hardly producing any nitric oxide at all. Even those people who have had good diets, plenty of exercise and sunshine, they are still, you know, very much down the scale. So, and this of course is around about the time that, you know, all these other health issues start sort of kicking in for most people. And then if in fact, once again, if you look at that other diagram and you see the role that nitric oxide plays, then it's understandable why people have issues as they start getting older. And this is just one more component, you know, that to plug a hole in, if you can in fact help stimulate and keep the nitric oxide. And remember, it's not just the nitrates in the spinach which is in fact the key component. It's the other ingredients as well which help stimulate the endothelium, you know, to continue to manufacture nitric oxide itself.
Yeah, and you, looking at that there, 70 years, big drop. What age are you now anyway? Are you?
I'm 75 in August.
All right, you're hanging in pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know what my nitric oxide levels are. We're looking at possible ways to be able to test it, and I understand that it can be tested through saliva, so I've got, you know, a team looking at that, because, you know, it would be interesting to be able to measure before and after levels of nitric oxide. I suspect that, you know, if you look at that chart, that I'm probably in the higher, you know, component than somebody that doesn't take care of themselves.
Yeah, and something occurs to me there as well. So, you know, you're taking high amounts of these beneficial compounds, if you will. When you get medications, in contrast, when you take those compounds, like say statins, there may be some benefit, but then there may be some downsides for some people. So are there any other effects from these kinds of ingredients that you're using? Any kind of problems or downsides, or you've checked that out, I guess?
Oh, yes. I think there's a lot of other components, and something particularly as men get older, as you know, that, I mean, you probably remember how Viagra came to be, you know, which was essentially originally for medication for cardiovascular, you know, to help reduce heart attacks. And of course, one of the mechanisms of it is to boost nitric oxide. And so this is, if you like, a side effect with regarding, you take this particular, product from the point of view of helping the blood flows. It has a natural flow-on effect, like a natural Viagra, but we're not sort of marketing as such. I mean, that's just a pleasant side effect. With regarding medications such as likes of statins, well, of course, as you know, I've never been on a statin in my life. After I had the surgery, the doctors, the surgeon, the cardiologist all insisted that I went on a statin and a aspirin, and I totally refused. I'm not on any medication, or never have been, never will be, and they kept on insisting, and this went on for weeks until finally the cardiologist wrote a letter to the doctor and said, well, I think you should give up trying to, to warrant into a statin. He's not going to do it. Because I said to them, I said, look, you guys haven't done your homework. I said, you're only looking at one side of the equation when it comes to, statins. You've got to look at the big picture, and it may have a minimal effect in, one area, but then it has a lot of negatives in the other, and the upside is less than the downside. So I'm not on any medication. But that is a potential side effect with this.
Well, yeah, people know my opinion on statins. You know, there's some potential benefit, some potential downside, maybe. Doesn't make sense compared to the natural way. That's where I'm coming from. But what about the other things? It's not just the nitrates, the spinach extract. You've put in a few other components here. Again, all around this nitric oxide nexus, all around this blood pressure targeting.
Yes, we do, because whereas the red spinach will sort of give an immediate benefit with the nitrate boost, you also got to provide the ingredients to help the overall health of the endothelium that produces the nitric oxide. So rather than just getting a bit of a short sort of kick, what we wanted to do was something which would be gradually build up the overall strength and production of nitric oxide from the endothelium. And so for that reason, that's why we put in quercetin, black garlic, and also some grapeseed extract, because all of those ingredients have actually got good clinical data supporting their efficacy in boosting nitric oxide from the endothelium itself.
Yeah, and actually I've quercetin for sure, and the grapeseed extract I've come across. The aged garlic is the one I'd mentioned earlier that Professor Budoff, Matt Budoff, who's huge in the calcification world, but again, he's a top cardiologist, and he's very much kind of focused on drugs and interventions. But the one thing, interestingly, that he has published papers on, I was surprised to see it a few years ago, was aged garlic, because he's not a guy who goes the natural route. Sadly, they're kind of programmed not to go there. But he has gone there with aged garlic. Now, I'm not familiar with black garlic. Is it a similar kind of mechanism biochemically for the one he actually has?
Well, what it came down to was aged garlic and black garlic. And of course, there's a lot of data on aged garlic, and then there is slightly different mechanism with the black garlic. The black garlic is harder to get, and one of the actives in it is more potent than aged garlic itself, but it's not very commonly known. So we had an option of aged garlic or black garlic. The aged garlic was lesser cost, but not as effective as the black garlic, so that's why we opted for the black garlic and not aged garlic. But similar action, but it's the black garlic is just a little bit more potent.
Right, and really quickly on the quercetin and the grapeseed extract, really briefly, why they get included?
All right, well, the quercetin, like the garlic, has actually got good clinical data supporting a mechanism to help endothelium, produce nitric oxide. So it's got, good scientific data supporting that. And so does the grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract that we're using is a little different to normal. It's a New Zealand one, which has got a higher potency than the normal. But we also added some other cofactors in, because with a lot of these ingredients, they need a little bit of a trigger to get the best out of them. So sometimes you can have a situation where 1 + 1 can equal 3 instead of 2, if you do the right combinations and you have the appropriate cofactors. So for that reason, there are some B vitamins and the natural form of folate included. And then after the formula was done, we decided to do something else to add into it, because you're probably familiar with the fact that quercetin is a 904.
Yeah.
And of course, what's very topical at the moment is immunity. So I said to our research scientists, well, look, we've got the quercetin in there at a good level. So why don't we just add another cofactor in, being zinc? Because zinc, of course, is well known to be very good for protecting against viruses, because it helps prevent viruses from replicating in the cells. But the problem is to get it into the cell in the first place. And that's where the ionophore comes in. And quercetin is considered to be probably one of the best, ionophores, other than the likes of ivermectin. But for a natural one, the quercetin fills that role. So we thought, well, even though that immunity is outside the scope of this particular product, let's put it in, because who cares if you're going to get an extra benefit on top of it? So consequently, we've put the zinc in it as well. So this means that in addition to the cardiovascular benefits, it's going to have quite an impact on people's general overall immunity.
Yeah, and again, I have to avoid these days on certain platforms discussing the Ivor word and many other things. But that makes sense. I mean, when you've already got on board a great ionophore, and no one really now would question zinc's involvement in viral replication, and there's many publications. So to add that in, the other thing I like actually is there's a synergy there, or an overlap, because we know now that COVID and other diseases also have a powerful vascular element. And it's become quite clear that people who have high degree of vascular health, i.e. the opposite of type 2 diabetes, as an example, have relatively minimal effects from this latest problem over the last year or two. So getting that in there for anyone who does need more nitric oxide will benefit from it. Also, if they're unfortunate enough to have a run-in with the virus, they'll have this extra vascular protection, if you will, through the zinc mechanism. So that's really cool. Any other ones you've included there, or that's pretty much quite a few anyway? The quercetin, the zinc, the grapeseed extract, black garlic, and of course the red spinach. But that's probably pretty much topping it off.
Yes, it is. And as I said, there's some B vitamins and folate in there as well, but they are there as cofactors to just help those other ingredients work more effectively.
Very good. So you know what I might do, because I haven't had time now with all the craziness in the viral world and elsewhere, haven't had time to really deep dive on these. I might, before I release the pod, grab some of the clinical trial stuff, which I'm always usually all over like a rash, as they say in Ireland, relating to the various components, so that people can just peruse, the kind of more human and clinical trial data as well. And I'd have to say as well that people, often want to go the route of not taking supplements, and also there's financial considerations, and that's absolutely a reality for many people. So some people do want to throw everything at their health that they can. And some people are happy just to fix their diet and get healthy sun and all that kind of stuff. And that's fine too. But we shouldn't underestimate that the drugs that have been produced that are good, they all essentially are extracted from plant world proteins and compounds. And, you know, it's pretty much just as valid to go direct to non-patented components to get a health benefit as the drugs and pharmaceuticals that so many people, the majority around the world, think are just wonderful technology and God's gift to man. So anyway, I always raise that point towards the end. Any other thoughts then, when is this launching, or what are the details around it for people who do wish to look into it? Again, no hard sell here. What's the kind of plans?
Well, we did the first manufacturing run 2 days ago, and it's currently just doing the final testing, just to, because when we complete each run, we then send them off to labs and so on before we release it. So it's currently in quarantine, we expect to be releasing them in a couple of days.
Right, very good, Warren. And as usual, when things pass my checks, I'm happy to get the message out there, you know, for good products. Well, guess I'll get maybe a code that can help followers or whoever wants to get a bit of a discount.
What we'll do is give you a code which will give your followers a 20% discount on their initial order. And then they can join up to any loyalty program if they want to from an ongoing point of view. So we'll give that code to you and you can pass that on.
Excellent. That's what everyone loves, discounts. So that's great to hear. So I'll pass it on. And again, it's up to people's own judgment. Read the trials, look through the components, decide for yourself. And of course, always the caveat, low carb, healthy whole foods, healthy sun exposure, getting magnesium as well relates to blood pressure. So don't forget magnesium. And that's very inexpensive. You can get it anywhere, etc., etc. You got to do all the stuff, and don't drink as much red wine as I do. That's my one little thing, Warren. Actually, I'm probably a little indulgent with that. That's the one risk I take, if you will. So I need to work on that one too. But all the stress, you know what I've been involved in the last 2 years. There is a bit of stress, right?
There's plenty of that around at the moment, but it's there's some light at the end of it.
Yeah, I've been quite aware of that your side of the world. I shouldn't be boasting about Ireland, but you got a lot of challenges there. But here's to, you know, Canada, New Zealand, and maybe some of the others like France and Germany, kind of looking over to all the other countries as an example of, you know, the way forward. But sure, we'll see. But listen, I'd better get out there and get back to my other work. And your day is just starting. Mine, unfortunately, is not over. We have a discount there. That's super, Warren, for anyone who does want to look into this or pass it on to someone who's very focused on blood pressure and vascular health. That'd be great. And till next time, I guess.
Yes, until next time. So take care and we'll talk later.
Great stuff, Warren. Good luck.
Bye now.
Thanks a lot for watching, guys. And as discussed during the podcast, here is Warren's new product he developed for himself, but is available for anyone who wishes to avail. And there's a discount code there, as we mentioned, IvarVascu20, for 20% off the first order, should you wish to avail of that. I've worked with Warren now for quite some time. The only reason I actually involve myself with these products is because Warren has been to Ireland, I've been over to New Zealand, I've inspected his manufacturing plant, and from front end right through to final delivery, it's excellent, top-notch quality. And also, Warren is the kind of guy who's an enthusiast, as hopefully you gathered, and he's really doing a service, I think, as well as running a great business, in fairness. So I do get a little help from orders for this, helps keep my train on the track, gives a little assistance for all the work that I do, so I always say that up front. But the reality is I would always place my bets with Warren's products, and that's just the way it is. So the specific links are all down below, and the data information sheets and some of the summary information on this product are on the web page. But the specific links are in the description box below, and don't forget to use that code IVORVASQ20 for a 20% discount off the first order. And indeed, watch out on the web pages for Warren's other offers and the club, which gives a longer term 10% discount, etc. So thanks a lot, guys. Till next time. Bye now.